In the morning. Remember the Commitments? Good song. Good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show, Tampa Bay's libertarian radio voice. I am Paul Molloy, and along with Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on this Friday. Very, very dry morning in Tampa Bay. We haven't had rain since I can remember. We are here, by the way, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time. On the Tantalk Radio Network. In a few minutes, Heather Kays will join us. She is our nationwide expert in schooling and education, and it's our regular Friday get-together on the progress of vouchers, charter schools, and choice in the U.S., and today including discussion of the booing and jeering of Betsy DeVos, Education Secretary at Bethune-Cookman, and a little bit later, the media pile-on of Donald Trump over FBI Director James Comey's firing continues. Boy, oh boy, does it continue. We're going to check with the Barber poll to see what Middle America thinks of all of this. And our campus quackery department is up and running. Stories this morning coming from the universities of Arizona and Michigan. Indeed. And in our ultimate top 10. The top 10 dumbest complaints of vacation travelers. You will not want to miss it. True complaints. Okay. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by Andrew, the Master Barber, located in the Columbia Plaza in Clearwater on State Road 580, just west of the Countryside Mall and Highway US 19. They're open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Please visit our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Find out a little bit more about the show, and you can listen to any of our shows at any time from there. Big Ed sets up our podcasts, and you're ready to go. Very easy to do, ourfreedomworks.com. Well, you know, everybody is talking about poor Donald Trump and how, golly, there's just got to be some connection to the Ruskies. It's just a matter of time. We're gonna look under every rock, and finally we're going to find it. Well, in the meantime, Florida Democratic or ex-Florida Democratic Congressman Corrine Brown apparently was taking a lot of money that was supposed to go to some sort of charity she was running. She's been found guilty on 18 counts of fraud and tax evasion. That's probably good for about 30 years. Jacksonville federal court found her guilty. The charges stemmed from the accusation that she was siphoning off all kinds of money from her charity. She sent it directly into her bank account. There wasn't any middleman. It went directly into the bank account. So apparently it was very easy to trace. And her staff started singing like canaries. She said that, you know, it's the old wall. I didn't know what was going on. I'm just busy running around being a politician, and I was trusting all of my staff. No, no, no. They didn't buy into that. The congressman and her staff alleged to have stolen about $800,000. Nice round number, isn't it? I don't know what I could do with $800,000. Oh, I do know what I could do with a little bit of that $800,000. I wonder what she did with it.
Why is it never $800,052.38? Yeah.
It probably was, Ed. My guess is they rounded it off. But, you know, and then the attorney's continuing to say that she's totally innocent and devoid of knowledge. I mean, I'd rather, if she was that stupid, I would send her to prison for a longer term, you know. But she wasn't. And it did indeed, it's surprising. Here, this very liberal Tampa Bay Times, it did make the front page. But still, look at the headlines that big. And here's the Trump headline, right, on Comey. They're going to make Trump the fall guy no matter what. In the meantime, his attorney general, Jeff Sessions, sent out a letter late yesterday, I think, sent it to all the federal prosecutors around the country saying, pursue the most serious charges against bad guys. This will send apparently more people to prison if carried through and for much longer terms. Now, this kind of goes 180 from the former Attorney General Eric Holder in the Obama administration. He was telling everybody to, you know, ease off the gas pedal, particularly with drug people. And Sessions is saying, no, we're going full blast. The memo is already being called the Sessions memo. And our 94 U.S. Attorneys General instructed to charge and pursue the most serious and readily provable offenses. This memo brings back into effect mandatory minimum sentences expected to increase prosecution and population of the prisons. So apparently Six Gun Jeff, I'm going to call him, is not going to take any prisoners. He's rootin' and tootin'. Officials say that former Attorney General Eric Holder's, quote, smart on crime policy convoluted the process and left prosecutors kind of in the dark, applying the law unevenly. So there you go. All right. Let us take our break. When we come back, I can't wait to talk with Heather Case.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Gentlemen, if you're looking for the best haircut at the best price in Tampa Bay, look no further than Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. That's just west of US 19 in Clearwater. Andrew and Candy will see to it that you get exactly the cut you want. And if you remember how the barbershop used to be, where you were as much a friend as a customer, then this is the place for you. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of US 19. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2.
There's only one place on the radio where golfers like you can turn for the best tips, interviews, product reviews, local tournaments, and everything golf talk. The Golf Show Guys.
Hey, join the Golf Show Guys every Wednesday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. It's not just funny, it's informative, it's celebrities, and it's a lot of applause. It's the Golf Show Guys, Wednesday mornings from 9 to 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tantalk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tantalk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Hi, this is Tim Del Toro.
And I'm Lou Angel Wolf, and we are the Grease Gurus.
Our show is broadcast every Saturday morning live at WTAN, Tantalk Radio, 1340.
That's 10 o'clock every Saturday morning for an automotive forum that is flavored with humor and insight.
We encourage you to call in and be part of the Grease Gurus show.
We'd love to have you, and we will certainly help you find your inner grease.
This show is sponsored by Tim's Performance Service Center in beautiful Tarpon Springs at 906 Verona Place. And you can reach us personally at 727-543-1601.
Aha.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday morning. And if it's Friday morning, it means that Heather Case is with us. Heather is an education reporter and policy expert who has been published all over the country. And we talk every Friday about what is going on with our education. And Heather, I think I'll leave that Betsy DeVos story till the end. But let's get over to this unbelievable story in Ohio, where apparently a kid, grade schooler, was given, what, a 10-day suspension for liking a gun picture? What is that all about? This is
so this middle school student got in trouble for liking a photo of a gun on Instagram. Apparently, according to his parents, the child didn't comment on it. There was no direct threat made, anything like that. It was a photo of a gun, and the caption on the existing image said, "Ready." They took it as being some sort of a threat to the safety of the other school children and issued this suspension. But obviously, his parents did not feel that that was an appropriate action.
Oh my God!
Taken. And they ended up rescinding the punishment. And
well, they did rescind it.
Basically saying, you know, we have to look into, we have to take every threat seriously, and there's a zero tolerance of violent, disruptive, harassing, intimidating, bullying, or any other inappropriate behavior by students. So by liking a photo of a gun, that is somehow bullying or implying that he's the type of person who has the intention of carrying out violence within a school, which is just utter insanity.
Yeah. Now, we weren't there, so we don't know how the kid was acting with the picture, right? He might have been, you know, kind of in your face with it. But even then, I'm looking at the 10-day suspension, and I'm thinking, there is nobody rational. I mean, really, there is nobody rational that would give a grade schooler a 2-week suspension from school for saying that he liked a gun picture, or even if he liked a gun, or if he liked that gun. This the most bizarre.
This kind of stuff happens all the time, though. And then you also have situations where teachers and administrators are completely aware of a child actually being bullied in school and online, and the bullies get away with it.
Yeah.
And it's sort of accepted as this is just how kids behave. But to indicate that you like a gun photo is enough for someone to be suspended for 10 days, it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
It makes no sense. And I'm wondering if there's any retribution for the teachers or the principal of the school that decided on this. I mean, really, you can't believe this. I can't believe it. I mean, this is one of those bizarre things I've ever heard of.
You're such a hopeful man. I really like that about you.
I'll take that as a compliment, my dear. Okay.
It is.
Okay. Story two. This goes to Georgia Governor Nathan Deal, and he has vetoed some sort of opt-out law that would allow kids to opt out of finals. Tell me about that.
Right. So basically, parents are saying that they want this legislation basically so that students don't feel forced and pressured into taking certain exams, which unfortunately is a thing that does happen, and it gets really dicey, especially when the parents are the ones who feel that the testing isn't appropriate. The child ends up suffering, gets, you know, berated by teachers or told that they're going to get into trouble, or in rare cases are told they have to take the test, even though that isn't actually legally the way it works most places. So he decided that this was completely unnecessary and that it should be left up to the local school district to determine when and how tests are administered. even the people who were fighting for this legislation admitted that this legislation isn't really necessary per se. It's just it would be more taking a stand saying that, you know, the governor and the people who vote in favor of it are behind the idea of parents being allowed to opt their children out of testing.
Yeah, and I kind of like it. I think the way that Nathan Deal has handled this, he basically said this is creating another layer of laws, and God knows we've got so many of them already. So I kind of like that. The fact that, you know, I would think that you would, you know, kids that want to prepare for college, you know, this is one more way of, I guess, gauging their ability to go to a certain college. But if the parents and the students say, no, I'd rather not do it, what is your thought on that?
I always have mixed feelings when it comes to opting students out of testing. Mm-hmm. I think that parents do have a right to do it, but I also know that if it were my child, it's highly unlikely that I would do it. Because of exactly what you just said, any child who isn't preparing for some sort of post-secondary training, whether it be college or a tech school or whatever, you're going to need to be able to take tests well. And so I wouldn't remove it for that reason. Second of all, I don't think that it's really worth the pushback, the mistreatment that the kids will receive. They basically, best case scenario is they sit your child in a room to stare at a wall while everyone else is taking.
Yeah, that's worse.
So that's a loss of class time.
Yes.
A loss of learning anything. Even if you're taking a crummy test, that doesn't really show you anything. At least you're doing something.
I agree with that.
And then on top of that, if too many people are taken out of, if too many kids opt out, what ends up happening is federal funding to public schools ends up being yanked.
Yes.
They need a 90% mark of students participating in. And while I think it's really stupid that it works that way to begin with, I also understand that the money is needed. And so, yeah, I support it, sort of. But I can't ever really see it being worth it. You have to take a test. You show up, you take the test.
Right. I wonder how many states require high schoolers that are graduating to take a final test. Or does that usually go down to, yeah. I mean, a statewide mandate, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I would think that I could understand that in a way. I could understand that. I can also understand the argument that says, well, let every district decide. But like you would say, I think common sense says, I'm going to make sure my kid takes the test for a host of reasons. Anyway, we're talking with Heather Case. She is an education reporter and policy expert. And she goes all around the country. She's been involved in all kinds of conferences, gets a taste of what is going on with school vouchers and homeschooling and charter schools. Such a big topic these days, you know, charter schools. But we always seem, Heather, to have something going on with poor Betsy DeVos, whom we both like, whom we both think will be a good education secretary. But she just, I mean, she must have the patience of Job. Now, she goes to Bethune-Cookman College, that's over near Daytona Beach, is a black college. She is booed. She is jeered. They stand up and turn their back on her. And she still seems to be, I mean, I want you to explain this, but she still seems to just turn the other cheek.
There's a reason that I sent this story and not another version of it. This woman is Grace under pressure, and she's proved it from her confirmation hearing up until now. But basically, on Wednesday, a large number of students booed her, turned their backs to her. According to other journalists and people who were there, it was so loud it became difficult to hear her. And afterwards, Betsy DeVos released a statement saying that she had respect for the students who disagreed with her, because one of the hallmarks of higher education and of democracy is the ability to conserve with and learn with those whom we disagree.
Well, I'll tell you what, she's got a lot more patience than I would have had if I were her in her shoes. I don't know what I would have said. I probably would lose my education secretary job. But I would have, I would have said, now look, we're trying to help you as minority students get a better education. We're offering things like vouchers and school choice and trying to help the black and other minorities have a chance in life. And you stand here and you turn your back on us and you won't give us an opportunity. And yet, all you have to do is look at the quality of the public schools that you went to in general, you know? I mean, that's what I would say. And, of course, I'm sure they would have jeered all that much louder and started looking for tomatoes and all kinds of things. But, you know, that's what I would say. Now, she doesn't. You know, she kind of smiles. And yet this woman, she doesn't need this job. She does not need this kind of I think she's doing it strictly because of her desire to help. And to improve, in particularly for lower income kids. Your thoughts?
I agree with much of what you just said, and I think that this is a really interesting situation. There were a lot of students who basically what it is that they were saying is they don't like being represented by somebody who will never understand the struggle that they've gone through. And to me, I thought that was a really interesting thing to see happen, because rather than listen, I think that they were standing up and turning their back on the Trump administration. I don't think it really had that much to do with Betsy DeVos. And they also, made some noise, disapproving noises of Omarosa Manigault, who was on The Apprentice with Trump, who was also there. But my whole thing is, first of all, I think it's extremely rude to not listen to the keynote speaker at your own graduation, because it's not just about your parents helped you get there, the teachers helped you get there. It should matter to you because you worked hard for something. Just, be polite. But more than that, I think it's an indication of just an inability of people to understand that there's a reason that segregation was done away with. And I understand black colleges and universities wanting to hold true to their roots and their heritage and all of that. But when you turn it into a situation where you're unwilling to even listen to somebody else's side, you're segregating yourself. You're separating yourself from the rest of society and then wondering why things are harder for
right.
you. And I don't really appreciate that type of approach to communicating.
I think you're being too kind, Heather. And I'm going to tell you something. I think it was more than that. I think it was boorish. I think it made them look stupid. It also was stomping on free speech rights. This woman was invited to speak at their commencement. The least they could do is sit and listen. Now, later they could say anything they would like, but give her the courtesy she would give them. I think they were boorish. I think they are ignorant. And if they are, for some reason, thinking that, I don't think it was just Donald Trump. I think they don't like her. I think they see her as a rich white woman that should, what are you coming in here telling us how to do it? You know, I really do. I think that's a large part of it. And that's how, and I think most people feel that way. Your thoughts?
I can understand people feeling that way. And I do think that she is taking a lot of heat because of, she's the head of the Department of Education. She would be taking a lot of heat no matter who she was. It just is the way that it works. I do think it's a really unfortunate thing that took place.
Right.
But I really, really respected her response to it.
Me too.
Because it is important. If we're going to get up in arms because Berkeley doesn't want to let Ann Coulter speak or something like that, then it's you can't say, no, it's stupid that you started a petition so that Betsy DeVos didn't speak. It's awful that you booed her during her speech and turned your back to her. It's inappropriate. I can say and feel those things, but at the same time, at least people care enough to bother to say something and try it all, even if it's misplaced and misguided.
It's more than misplaced and misguided. It's boorish. But that's okay. In both cases, she handled it very well, very, very well. And my dear, as always, we always have such a great discussion with you, and you always have such great topics. I am looking forward to next Friday with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. All right, there she goes, Heather Kayes. Let us take our break. And boy, we have another one coming up right after the break, the barber poll. And he is mad, mad, mad about the Comey situation.
Is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
I want to let you guys know about the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. It's Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of Highway US 19 and just west of the Countryside Mall. You guys are going to get the best haircut you could possibly get, and you're going to get it from Andrew or Candy, and you're going to be so happy that you got it. They are open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Let's go bowling!
Let's go bowling, heard on the Tan Talk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why not you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars, old and new. Let's go bowling show, gobowlingshow.com. So let's go out to the phone lines and talk to Rich. So let's talk about the big event.
Well, we have Clearwater Beach Taste Fest. It's our 8th annual, and each year it keeps getting bigger and bigger. This year we'll be having 33 restaurants that will offer samplings to our guests that night. It's right there on Clearwater Beach on the Beachwalk Promenade and yes, Gulfview Boulevard.
That's going to be fantastic.
With several new parking garages, parking is not a problem. That's this Friday, May 12th, 6 to 9.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday morning, and if it's Friday morning at around 10:30, then it's time for the barber poll to rear its head. And we've got Andrew, the Master Barber, with us. By the way, you got to get over there. If you need a haircut, you guys, the best haircut in Tampa Bay is in Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580. It is just west of Highway US 19. Look for that yellow sign with the red letters, Columbia Plaza. So, Mr. Barber Paul, I have never seen the press go as ballistic as they have. I don't think ever on one particular... I remember the Nixon situation. This seems to be even worse. I think it's even worse on the Comey Trump situation.
Paul, you know what? I think if Donald Trump came out today and said he's going to take everybody's guns away and get rid of the Second Amendment, what do you think would happen with the Democrats?
Well, coming from Trump, they would probably find something wrong with it. But
exactly. That's what they want to do, right?
Yeah.
And if he did it, it's no good. Listen,
right.
He should have not only fired Comey when he did, he should have fired McCabe, too, the assistant director of the FBI, because he's got ties with the Clinton people.
Well, his wife does, doesn't she?
That's got to go. But if his wife does, that means he does. You know what? The wife wears the pants.
Now.
Especially with these guys.
Does she wear pants? That's very interesting.
Anyway, she probably got to say something, but I won't. Go ahead.
I was leading you on, and it was my fault. I apologize. Now, Donald Trump made this comment. James Comey better hope that there are no tapes of our conversation before he starts leaking to the press. So now you've got to admit, You've got to admit that this soap opera with the media is in part inflamed to some extent by the way Donald Trump handles things. I'm not saying that Donald Trump is wrong in the way he's handling it, but you know, he does seem to throw a little bit of gasoline on a fire. Do you agree?
I agree with that, but I don't blame him. I'd do the same thing.
Okay, and I think
I'd make him go ballistically crazy, because you know why? People are seeing just how stupid they really are, and right. Nobody's even paying attention to him. And he's making them look like fools, and they're falling right for it.
Here's the thing about this whole Comey thing, and the Russian intervention on behalf of Donald Trump and Donald Trump's possible connection. There is no proof, and there's not been any.
No, listen, Diane Frankenstein said three times there is no proof of it, okay? And you got Aunt Esther sitting there saying it would have been okay if Hillary fired him, but not Donald Trump.
Yeah, no, there's no question.
Where the hell do these people come from?
Here's the other thing. I don't know, and this is on the horizon possibly. We're going to get a new FBI director eventually, and I suspect If it goes like Donald Trump's been going with his selections, it will be a good one, a no nonsense type.
I believe it should be Sheriff Clark.
You know what?
He's got my full endorsement.
Yeah, I think he would be a no nonsense kind of guy. I agree with you. I absolutely do. So here's the deal: Hillary Clinton's email controversy is not completely out. It's smoldering to some extent in the corner.
And you know how you talked about Donald Trump throwing gasoline at a fire? He's going to throw a 5-gallon can on there, buddy.
You know what? I think that there's room to look at that whole thing again. I think it was absolutely, completely clear that Comey gave Hillary Clinton a complete pass when a grand jury should have been called.
Monopoly. He gave her a free pass not to go to jail. And although she did everything.
And also, he had no right to make any decision whether that should have happened or not.
Well, Loretta Lynch washed her hands like Pontius Pilate, if you remember.
And it still wouldn't make any difference. The FBI has no right legally to render a decision. They should only pass the information on.
Well, let me ask you a question. Now that you're seeing what's going on a little bit at a time, you got to admit, I'm going to be right when I'm telling you all these people are going to go down.
Well, I think, and we're talking with Andrew the Master Barber, I think a lot of these people might go down. Look at
Corrine Brown yesterday. Found guilty of fraud and tax evasion.
Yes, we talked about that. In fact, if you had been listening rather than cutting hair, at 10 o'clock this morning, I said, here's a story in the Tampa Bay Times, on the front page at least, but look how much smaller the headline is on this than the headline at the top about Trump, where it says Trump shifts the story. I mean, any normal newspaper in any normal time would have made that ex-representative Corrine Brown story a bigger story in Florida.
Well, listen, everybody that comes in my barbershop tells me to don't even waste my time buying that newspaper anymore. They don't even want to read it. Okay, and I've been buying the paper for 52 years in a barbershop.
You know,
they don't even want it.
I don't blame you, but we don't have another paper anymore that's a daily. I wish we still had the Tampa Tribune.
Well, you know, I'd rather read my toilet paper than that.
Oh, do you keep news stories there? That's interesting. So we got that going, and now pushed aside are the important things that the president should be looking at, including, you know, obviously the health care repeal, the tax reform package, you know, to lower taxes on everybody. The guy's got, in my opinion, the right ideas. And this is going to kind of, this Comey thing has become such a maniacal.
Well, that's what they do. They want to drag it out and drag it out to waste time. They should say, listen, the guy is fired. It's a done deal. There's no collusion on. As a matter of fact, you know, Trump does have ties in Russia. You know that.
Well, he might have some ties and a couple pair of shoes he left there. But
There you go. No. Putin was wearing one of his ties yesterday, they said. They said he does have ties in Russia.
Did you know Putin stole somebody's Olympic award? Or what was that Putin stole? He stole a Super Bowl ring. Did you know that?
Yeah.
He stole a Super Bowl ring.
I forgot whose it was.
I mean, can you imagine? I mean, just think about it. The president of a country intentionally pockets somebody's Super Bowl ring.
He wanted it.
Okay.
He might be a secret kleptomaniac.
I guess I would not want to venture back into Russia demanding my Super Bowl.
To go get my ring, right?
Yeah, that's no. I don't think I would do that. So they, you know, no matter how they've tried, and by golly, they're trying. Democrats cannot connect Donald Trump. Cannot connect him to the Russians trying to hack into the election.
Well, the Democrats are doing one thing and one thing only. They think they can get rid of President Trump. They can't. What do they got to get through their heads?
I think you're right. I think they believe that maybe if they push hard enough, somebody is going to lose their mind and call for an impeachment.
But it doesn't matter what they call. You got to have proof of him doing something.
Of course you do.
Come on.
Of course you do.
But these people are being ridiculous. They're wasting time. And the people ought to realize these Democrats are a bunch of fools that are in there.
In the meantime.
Come on, look at Elizabeth Warren, Chuck Schumer, Ann Hester. Come on.
Who's Ann Hester?
Ann Hester is, what's her name? Waters.
Who?
Maxine Waters.
Oh.
That's Ann Hester. Don't you remember Ann Hester on Sanford and Son?
Oh, okay.
That's Ann Hester. That's Maxine Waters.
Well, now I know.
Okay, you got Pocahontas.
Pocahontas. Pocahontas was obvious.
And then Chuck Schumer. He says one thing in the morning and one thing in the afternoon.
And you called it?
They remind me of a transgendered person. I don't know what they want or what the hell they are.
You know, you
Make
should do
up
a
your mind.
Andrew the Master Barber, you should do a comedy show. And you called Diane Frankenstein from California.
Diane Frankenstein, that's
right. I like that, too.
Yes, and that's what they are. These people are a bunch of idiots.
Now, what was I going to say about some of these things that should be talked about in the meantime? And now I lost my train of thought. But I guess the point is that all of these things... Oh, I know what I was going to say. We've got a better economy. The stock market has reached points it's never reached in its history under Donald Trump. And I'm not saying he's the direct cause of it, but there's something going on.
Unemployment
is down.
People going from
and the border crossings. And the border crossings.
Immigrants are down 40%. So what are people crying about?
I don't know.
Trump is president.
I know.
You know, get over it.
I think the guy has got a loose mouth. You know I think that. And I think that sometimes he acts rather buffoonish. But I tell you what, I think he's doing a hell of a lot better than Hillary Clinton would ever have done. And I think that the country is showing it.
Hey, look at it. With all this crap going on with Comey, we still got the Sixth Fleet in North Korea, and you don't even hear anything about it.
No, you're right.
Okay? This guy is that important. They should take him in the back and shoot him and be all over with. You know, the headaches are done. There's
yes.
No more to talk about.
No, there wouldn't
but
be.
Get over this stuff, man.
I know. Ah, it's always good to hear from you, Andrew. You always put things in perspective. I know you read the Barber poll before you come on, so you know what you're talking about. But you know what? I think in the long run, the people in general, not always, but all of them, but in general, are seeing through what the media is doing, and their absolute hate for
the one
for
thing
Trump.
I hate to say, the only thing that's going to wake up the American people again is there's going to be something happening here. And then you're going to see the country join together and you're going to push all these idiots aside. What have you been talking about? We just lost another 3,000 people.
Yeah, well, this is, of course, something we don't want. But you're right. I mean, while we're sitting over here looking at this this nonsense, something like that could occur.
Yeah.
Always got to keep our guard up.
They got all kinds of diversions to come in. They're more worried about Comey being fired, and they got 3,000 people checking into the situation. And, you know, come on, man, get a grip.
No, you're absolutely right. But you know what would happen if, God forbid, something like that, like a 9/11 occurred again? The Democrats would blame Trump and say, see, he's not a good president. That should never have happened. That's how they would handle it, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully they had when the Democrats have one of their Senate meetings, it's right in that hall. But beside the fact.
Oh, my goodness.
Beside the fact, my friend.
Well, listen. Go ahead.
Go ahead. It's time to go. I got to get back to work.
You get back there and get those shears in your hands and be very, very careful around the neck and ears.
I got one question for you.
Okay.
Is Comey allowed to get unemployment insurance now?
You know, that is a good question.
Is he going to be one of these statistics? I don't know if he can get unemployment insurance. He had the job more than 90 days.
Well, you got to remember that if he's a Washingtonian and in the government, He's going to have a pension like you cannot believe for the rest of his life.
Yeah, and he'll still try to get unemployment insurance, believe me, on top of it.
Well, he probably will. That's just the way the people like that are.
And I'm sure we'll wind up seeing him in line for day-old bread just like Hillary Clinton.
Well, you know one thing he could do, now that I think about it, you know how tall he is? He's about 6'7".
He's like 6'8", actually.
He's young enough. Why? The Chicago Bulls need a good forward. Do you think there's any opportunity for him?
I dropped the ball too many times.
He's too old, man. Yeah, he can't do it.
Oh, shoot.
Can't keep his mouth shut either.
I mean, he even towered over Donald Trump, who's about 6'1".
Yeah, we'd have to bring my son next to him. They're about the same height.
Really?
How tall? Yeah, my son is like 6'8.5".
Can he dribble a basketball?
He can dribble anything.
We can make a lot of money off this guy, if you play your cards right. I'll be his agent.
His dream in life is to play for the Orlando Magic, so he's working on that.
Well, I'll be his agent, and we'll take him there and make sure that they get a look at him. That's good.
That's what we're working on, buddy.
All right. Get back to those haircuts, Andrew. Great talking with you. We'll talk with you next week.
You got it, buddy. Talk to you later.
All righty. Andrew, the great, great Master Barber, going to take our final break. When we come back, you will not believe, first of all, the campus quackery, and then the top 10 dumbest complaints by vacationers.
Bowery got his bumps. 42nd Street got Big Jim Walker. He a bull-shooting son of a gun.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I want to let you guys know about the best barbershop in Tampa Bay. It's Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Columbia Plaza on State Road 580, just west of Highway US 19 and just west of the Countryside Mall. You guys are going to get the best haircut you could possibly get, and you're going to get it from Andrew or Candy, and you're going to be so happy that you got it. They are open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5:30, Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food & Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com.
My bridge is all.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back for our final segment on our Friday show of Freedom Works. Thank you very, very much for being with us. And it's time for our campus quackery segment. Oh, there we go. I was hoping, and we got it. We got a duck. How do you manage to keep that duck head over there in the studio? You know,
ducks don't come cheap. I told them they don't perform. They're lunch.
Oh, there we go. God love you. All right. And our two stories, one from Arizona University and the other from Michigan. Let's go to Arizona first. The university there now accepting applications for social justice advocates. Oh, yeah. Whose job it will be to snitch on other students accused of bias. They're also expected to hold educational programs about, quote, the mosaic of diversity, multiculturalism, and inclusivity, and maintain social justice bulletin boards in student residence halls. Now that is the kind of university I'm talking about. Can you believe it? Now, the job officially calls for the advocates to report any bias or claims of bias to appropriate residence life staff. And it pays. Listen to this. You get $10 an hour to do this. You're expected to work 15 hours a week, which means you could be making as much as 600 smackaroos a month doing this job. All right. Can you believe it? Hard to believe. Okay, and on to the University of Michigan, where a student activist group is demanding that the officials on campus provide them with a permanent designated space on central campus for what they call social justice work. Social justice work. The demand, one of several lodged by a group called Students for Justice, who ratcheted up campus demonstrations to pressure administrators to cave. This is a clamor for a segregated space for students of color to be able to get into. And here's what this is doing, of course. This is dividing people by color. That's what it's doing. You know? It's absolutely the worst thing you can do. You want integration. This is a segregation kind of a thing. The clamor comes even as the public university has been building a big center, a $10 million center for black students in the center of campus. The new center, considered multicultural, still at the under construction, and it's being built at the behest of a student group called Being Black. They are actually building this thing based on demands of this Being Black group, whose members complain that black students are marginalized because the original multicultural center they use is located on the outskirts of the campus. So now you get, see what's going on? It's crazy. It really is. It's absolutely crazy. All right. To a little bit lighter subject. Our Tampa Bay Rays are trying as hard as they can to compete. And Big Ed is our, not only is the guy that helps run the show, he's also a real sports expert. Ed, is Tampa Bay, are the Rays doing as well as you hoped at this point?
No.
So much for that topic. Okay, now they're not. They're about three games under 500. They started out rather good. I mean, what's going on? There's some things are going on fundamentally.
Well, their pitching has really been exposed. I mean, the bullpen. You know, just say yesterday was a perfect example.
Now, they lost yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, they just...
Kansas City.
Yeah, they play okay. Well enough just to break your heart, you know, and it's just...
And unfortunately, errors are being a factor. This guy is normally a Golden Glove guy. I got to get his name here. Kevin Kiermaier.
Kiermaier.
Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, the ball's going under his glove, huh?
Yeah. Little
well, that happens. Little, you know, that happens.
Yeah, little things happen. You pay a couple of $1 million a year, and you can't catch a ball, and, you know.
Okay, so.
It's just fundamentals.
Now, you don't like the coach, Kevin Cash.
It's not that I don't like him.
Well, you like him, but you're not sure he's a good manager,
he's
right?
He's like a 9-year-old prom date. He has no business being there.
Okay.
Okay?
That's an interesting comparison. Yeah.
So, you know, this is where these fundamental problems come from. Unless you find a way to fix these things, and there's a lot of bullpen problems, and they just, you know, they just can't compete with these other clubs that are paying out money for this. This is all wound up in the stadium, and it's just, there's grumblings of their, you know, their face of the franchise, you know, with Evan Longoria. Is he trying to play his way out of town? Or is he just not as good as he was 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago?
It's becoming a real soap opera.
So, yeah, now it's starting to, you know, and I don't be surprised if Evan Longoria is out of here this year.
Well, he's one of the favorites. I would hate to see that guy go. I think
people
still.
Right now are more frustrated because when you have, you know, when you've shown what you can do in the past and you're just not doing it now, it's because of one or two reasons. Either you're too old and you can't do it anymore, or you have other reasons not to do it anymore.
You don't think he's really giving up, Evan Longoria, do
you? I don't think he's putting forth the effort. And you got to remember, when it's in spring training, he had some choice words for the organization actually some of the players around him, that they weren't putting forth the effort. So maybe, you know, you can't beat him, join him.
Okay.
So...
Well, I appreciate the update. That's the Tampa Bay Rays for you, my friends.
It's okay. Football season's 3 months away.
And there we go. And I know you've got high hopes for the Bucs this year.
Oh, everybody does. You got HBO Hard Knocks is going to be in town.
May I remind you, though, I got to tease that a little bit. May I remind you, you were not big on drafting Jameis Winston.
Yes, I was not.
Quarterback.
Oh, no, I was not.
But he has really played.
He's absolutely one of the finest human beings I know right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's playing good football.
People can change. So
they can, and I agree. They're good for you. All right. We got a good one for the top 10. These are the top 10 dumbest complaints by vacationers who took Thomas Cook vacations. That is a longtime world-famous vacation travel company, okay? And these are the top 10 dumbest complaints they made to Thomas Cook Travel. Here we go, number 10. Quote, on my holiday to Goa in India, I was disgusted to find that almost every restaurant served curry. I don't like spicy food. All right, number 9. Quote, the beach was too sandy. We had to clean everything when we returned to our rooms. Number 8. Nobody told us there would be fish in the water. The children were scared. Yet, can you believe that?
That was swimming pool.
Can you
pool.
Believe that?
Swimming pool.
Number 7. The roads were uneven and bumpy, so we could not read the local guidebook during the bus ride to the resort. Because of this, we were unaware of many things that would have been made our holiday more fun. Oh, my God. Number 6. I compared the size of our one-bedroom suite to our friend's three-bedroom suite, and ours was significantly smaller.
That's a legitimate gripe.
A one-bedroom to a three-bedroom.
Well.
You're kidding, I hope. Number 5. I was bitten by a mosquito. The brochure did not mention mosquitoes.
Just for those bees.
There you go. Number 4. It took us 9 hours to fly home from Jamaica to England. It took the Americans only 3 hours to get home. This seems unfair. Jamaica to the United States. Get it?
Yeah.
Jamaica to England.
Right.
Okay. Number 3. They should not allow topless sunbathing on the beach. It was very distracting for my husband, who just wanted to relax.
Sure he did.
Number 2.
That he was laying down, face down.
Face down, yep. There you go. Number 2, when we were in Spain, there were too many Spanish people there. The receptionist spoke Spanish. The food was Spanish. No one told us that there would be so many foreigners. Now, can you believe that one? That is so. I mean, that's a prize. All right. And the number 1 dumbest complaint by vacationers of Thomas Cook Vacations is... Wait till you hear this one. My fiancé and I requested twin beds when we booked, but instead we were placed in a room with a king bed. We now hold you responsible and want to be reimbursed for the fact that I became pregnant. This would not have happened if you had put us in the room that we booked. Now, there you go, my friends.
Well, she could have taken a little trip to the drugstore, for one thing, and gotten a little something to take care of that.
You just don't have those king beds. That's the problem. And let's see how much money she gets
from
Thomas Cook Vacations.
I just fear for that guy that has to now live with her for at least another 18 years.
My friends, that is it. All right. We thank you so very much for joining us on Freedom Works. We will be back on Monday. Have a great weekend. Bye for now. Don't you want